Have you ever noticed how a calm mind can really set the stage for a good night's sleep? That's the idea behind our new podcast, Good Sleep. Greg, our host from Optimal Relationships Daily, is here to help ease you into a peaceful night's rest with some positive affirmations. And these affirmations aren't just comforting. They can help ease anxiety and nurture positive thoughts, setting you up for true good sleep. So press play on Good Sleep tonight. Because a good tomorrow starts with a good night's sleep. Just search for Good Sleep in your podcast app and be sure to pick the one from Optimal Living Daily. This is Optimal Finance Daily, episode 2685, Three Ways to Hack Your Financial Happiness by Chris Reining of chrisreining.com. And I'm your host and personal finance enthusiast, Diana Merriam. Now let's get right to today's post and start optimizing your life. Three Ways to Hack Your Financial Happiness by Chris Reining of chrisreining.com. Last week, I went out on a school night. I almost didn't because it was 10:30 at night and I hadn't left my house yet and my bedtime was in 30 minutes. But I got the motivation to put on my Converse and head over to where Zion I, a skilled hip-hop group from Oakland, California, were going to play. After the show, my buddy and I decided to have a nightcap. It was 1 in the morning. We're in our 30s now and never go out, so the conversation turned toward the crazy amount of partying we did together in our 20s. He said he was just young, happy, and having fun. I said I was miserable and self-medicating. I didn't know that then. It was before I went to a therapist and spent years attending a 12-step program. I thought hangovers and destructive relationships were normal. Many of us equate money to happiness, and it's true, sort of. Research has shown that happiness rises with income, but only up to $75,000. After reaching that threshold, there's no more happiness to be gained. But the research doesn't spell out if that amount works in New York City, where the cost of living is much higher than a city like Cincinnati, Ohio. Nevertheless, there's a threshold. And you might think if you have more money, you could buy more things, which will then make you happier. True, more money enables you to get a better car, a summer vacation home, or a Michael Kors handbag. Please do, I own the stock. But buying stuff is the equivalent of getting drunk. It only temporarily soothes our unhappiness. I have to work at being happy. That sounds absolutely ridiculous, but it's true. I even have Google Calendar set up to email me 3 times a week to remind me that happiness is a choice. I can choose to be happy or I can choose to be miserable. Being happy isn't an accidental mood. So of course, I have happiness rules that I reference. Number 1, quit playing games. Many of us are competitive. We're driven to win by societal pressure, by our parents and the values they instilled in us, and by the performance of our peers and friends. So we strive to make the highest salary, to climb the corporate ladder rung by rung, and to compare what we have to what other people have. This mindset of win at all costs makes us cut corners and even commit crimes. We should always seek opportunities to get out of our comfort zone, face our fears, and improve ourselves. But the drive to do so needs to come from within us, not from comparing ourselves and what we have to someone else. Improving ourselves isn't a game to be won or lost. Number 2. Appreciate what's normal. Seth Godin wrote that calling someone across the world, starting a car, or having electricity come out of a little hole in the wall used to be really hard and that it was amazing when it worked. And now we take all of that stuff for granted. But do we ever stop and appreciate all the modern conveniences we have in our lives? When I was flying from Rome back to the US earlier this year, my initial flight was delayed by an hour. This set off a chain reaction of flights that had to be rescheduled in order for me to get home. When I was standing in the long line at the service desk of Air Canada in order to book new flights, I met a woman with the same itinerary I had. She spent most of the time in line bashing the airlines, their inept workers, and the amount of time they were forcing her to waste. When she reached the desk, she berated the guy who was helping her. He got fed up with her and made her go to the back of the line. Did she realize that having the ability to actually fly through the air is amazing? Think about it. You're sitting in a chair in the sky and traveling at 550 miles per hour. New York to San Francisco in less than 6 hours. In the late 1800s, it used to take people 83 hours on a train to do that, and they had to sit on a hard wooden bench. I like to jot down on paper a few everyday things I'm grateful for that my great-grandparents couldn't afford or couldn't even imagine, like flying across the ocean, the internet, or smartphones. And number three, consume less. The first world loves to consume, but just as we should practice information dieting, we should also practice the art of consuming less. Maybe a good time to start is next month when Americans will shop over Thanksgiving weekend. Last year, the damage from Black Friday to Cyber Monday toppled $57 billion. There's no getting around the fact that we live in a period when conspicuous consumption is normal. Victor Lebow, an economist, brilliantly called this out in an article from 1955. Quote, "Our enormously productive economy demands that we make consumption our way of life, that we convert the buying and use of goods into rituals, that we seek our spiritual satisfaction, our ego satisfaction, in consumption. We need things consumed, burned up, replaced, and discarded at an ever-accelerating rate." End quote. But living a disposable lifestyle doesn't make us any happier. Finding happiness comes from within. It's not something that can be purchased from Amazon. Once we recognize that, we can make the liberating decision to be content with the possessions we already have. You just listened to the post titled, "Three Ways to Hack Your Financial Happiness" by Chris Reining of chrisreining.com. And I'll be right back with my commentary. Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear, upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable. If you've been using Mint to manage your finances, I've got some bad news. Mint is shutting down. But now for the good news. There's a better alternative. Our sponsor, Monarch Money. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. Maybe you're saving for a down payment, a wedding, a dream vacation, your kids' college? I've found that Monarch makes it so easy to help you reach your financial goals, whatever they are. I definitely wouldn't be able to allocate my finances or plan as clearly without help from Monarch. In fact, Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all of your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/OFD. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/OFD. That's monarchmoney.com/OFD for your extended 30-day free trial. As my finances have improved over time, I've noticed an evolution in my relationship with money. Is money meant to be accumulated, or is it meant to be spent? I think that it's both. Money is only as valuable as your clarity on how you'll use it and your comfort level of how much is enough. You have seasons of life where you accumulate, and then you open up the option of new seasons of your life where you're focused less on accumulation and more on using your money to create a life you love. And most of us will shift back and forth through these seasons many times over the course of our lives. I think one of the dangers of pursuing financial independence is that people think once they reach the finish line, they'll be happier. But of all the people I've met that have retired early, the message is always the same. If you're unhappy before FI, you will be unhappy after FI as well. The reason is because financial independence is a circumstance, and happiness comes much more from the intentional ways we use our time. Having 25 times your yearly expenses in your investment portfolio won't magically change how you feel about yourself and your life. That's an inside job, my friends. There's a wonderful speech that Carl Jensen, also known as Mr. 1500, did at the Economy Conference last year on this very topic. It's called Philandia is a Lie, and you can watch it right now on the Economy Conference YouTube channel. And that should do it for another edition of Optimal Finance Daily. I'll be back tomorrow as usual, so I'll see you there on the Wednesday show, where your optimal life awaits.